Hi there. This is the FOSDEM MySQL Dev Room last session, at least that's the way it's originally scheduled on the calendar. The MySQL release note highlights from 2021. We're going to recap at a fairly high level what happened in 8.0.2.3, 2.4, 2.5, 2.6, 2.7, and a little bit on 2.8. Now, please note 2.8 has not been released yet as I'm recording this from my house in Texas. It's a couple of weeks away from FOSDEM itself, but we have to have the recordings in. But I know 2.8 will be out before FOSDEM itself. So, and as an Oracle employee, I have to warn you that if I talk about anything that's a future product, take it with a grain of salt. I do not have perfect knowledge of what's coming. I might mislead you unintentionally. So anything I talk about like that, take it with a grain of salt. And today I'm talking about the free community edition of MySQL, still under GPL version 2, still available from GitHub, MySQL.com's downloads, a lot of other places. And if we get off into something in Q&A about the Enterprise Edition, I'll point out the Enterprise Edition has a subscription cost. It's not free. And with that, let's get into the presentation. For those of you who do not know me, and it's kind of hard to do when we're not traveling anymore to actually meet you face to face. My name is Dave Stokes. I've been on the MySQL community team for 11 going on 12 years. I've been using MySQL since it came out. I wrote a book called MySQL and JSON, A Practical Programming Guide. If you are using the JSON data type or interested in it, please go out, order yourself a copy from Amazon. It's a very handy book. I'm also writing another book on MySQL indexing and histograms. Don't have a release date on that. That's taking a little bit more of a effort than I thought it would. So what happened in the year 2021 to the MySQL server? Now, some years are richer for new features and fixes than other years. This year had a lot of interesting changes. We still get slammed for violating semantic versioning rules with MySQL, no matter what we do. And if we're not that, we're being slammed for not having enough features. But there's a lot of interesting stuff that I found in the past year that I hope you'll agree with me that there were a lot of really good things in the product. By the way, if you're really interested in the details, since I only have a limited amount of time, the full details can be found by reading the actual release notes, and they are available at that URL you see there. And you can see that we had 5 releases during the year of 2021. Normally it's 4. There was a quick release for some engineering changes that were desperately needed. That's why we ended up with 5. It's happened before in the future. It'll probably happen again in the future. Now, for those of you who are interested in running the latest and greatest, which is 8.0.2.7 as I'm speaking, hopefully 8.0.2.8 as you see this, please go out and download everything together because it's all tested together. In the old days, if you were running MySQL 5.1 with the ODBC connector 8.4 or 3.6 or 5.2 with the versioning was kind of hard to remember which one worked with which, so they made a change with 8.0 to make everything across the board the same. So this is all QA'd together, all tested together, all developed together. So what went away in the last year? Well, one of the good things that happened after a lot of requests was the master-slave terminology that we probably picked up from the electronics world is gone away. It's now replication source or source and replica. Whitelist is now an include list. And a lot of that other stuff is now gone. Now, the way the internet works is everything's around and around forever. So it's still going to be around an older documentation and older version of the software, but we have changed it with the current release cycle. And it's been long called for a lot of people. And just notice that if you have old scripts, please go back and change them. If you're using this, you might want to realize that things are aliased for a while and then they'll disappear. Also the shortcuts for ASCII, the shortcut ASCII, which referred to Latin 1, and the old Unicode, which was actually UCS2, going away in 8.0.28. And also going away is TLS version 1 and 1.1. A little bit more about that later. The default authentication plugin variable was deprecated in the last part of the year. If you go out to the user table in the MySQL database, the user table now has 51 rows, and you'll see that there's now entries for the plugin and the authentication string. So this has really changed, and you'll see why in a little bit, where we actually give you more options for the plugins. Also, the binary operator is gone. I don't know of anyone who's really been using it other than some of the really old stuff that I remember from my 5.0 certifications. Also, the system variable group replication component stop timeout. There's a lot of changes in replication that I won't get into detail. You'll see the highlights of some of those, but this is another variable that's gone. Now, big change in the world of replication servers is multi-threading is turned on by default. This means the applier has a number of threads that execute transactions in parallel. This should really speed up things for most of us. This behavior also avoids many cases of unwanted replication lag. You have something big happening at one table and something smaller in another table is kind of blocked. So this should be a lot better there. Replication groups can now use the MySQL server's own connection security instead of what group replication had. This makes it a lot easier to administer the entire cluster as a whole. Also, for those of you in the Docker world who are using databases containers, is you can now easily set the default time zones. Now, the asynchronous connection failover mechanism for MySQL replication enables a replica that's part of a group to automatically connect to the sender if this current receiver, the primary of the group, fails. You can also specify a list of other machines to attach to so that you can minimize any disruption in your service. Another change is that for online DDL, storage is usually the bottleneck. As you know, things tend to get copied back and forth and it gets to be a headache for the underlying hardware. Now, CPU utilization and index building have been improved. Indexes can now be built simultaneously instead of serially. So rather than waiting for one to finish, you get them all going at the same time, or a lot of them going at the same time. Also, the memory management has been tightened up. So if you have set limits, it's not going to be violated. The clone plugin, which will take the information of the NODB table space on a donor system and move it over to a new machine coming into a cluster, you can now do concurrent DDL operations on the donor. And the NODB segment reserve factor allows you to configure how much of your tables are empty space for future storage when you're creating the tables. Now, for group replications, if you're running in single primary mode, you can now configure it to stay in super read-only mode so that it only accepts replicating transactions, not accept any direct writes from clients. This keeps you from having inadvertent writes on your replicated data, and should have another nice level of security for a lot of us. The NODB auto extend size maximum setting has been increased to 4 gigabytes. So when you need to get extra size in a hurry, you're gonna get more than 64 megs. Now in 802.3, NODB performance was improved for the following operations. If you're dropping a large table space with a large buffer pool, bigger than 32 gigabytes, that's now a lot faster. Dropping a table space with a significant number of pages referenced from the adaptive hash. So those get quickly disconnected before being sent to the Bitbucket. And also truncating temporary table spaces. Now, InnoDB also supports encryption of double write file buffers belonging to encrypted table spaces. That was kind of a hole where some of your data was encrypted. As it's not, now it's all encrypted. And also, if you have replication channels, you can now assign a GTID to transactions that do not already have one. Security. Security was a big area this year internally. We got a big US government approval on how to set up secure MySQL servers. Now, the big change for most of you is the OpenSSL library. Now, we started off with 802.3 that we moved from 1.1, as you saw on the deprecation slide, to 1.1. And then we moved to 1.1k. And finally, we are on 1.1.1l. You'll have to refer to the OpenSSL documentation to figure out what exactly the changes there, but that is evolving. By the way, this is an area where you really want to keep up to date on. Make sure your SSL libraries are as safe as they can be. Optimizer. For those of you using hash joins, a lot of improvements there for performance. You're going to find it's a lot faster. It takes less memory to do what it needs to do. And the memory control is a lot better. By the way, this is only for equijoins, as a just about every other hash. So if you have not used this before and you're going from an earlier version, say like 802.2 to a later version of MySQL, 802.7.2.8, and you have equijoins, you'll notice some of your queries run a lot faster just from having hash joins. Also, the query optimizer can now apply the derived table optimization to correlated Scholar subqueries. A lot of time in the past, if you're using subqueries, things just didn't work as seamlessly and as nicely as they could, and we got brute forced. Authentication. Multi-factor authentication is now a thing. You can now create accounts that have up to 3 authentication methods. So if you really, really, really want to lock down your servers, this is the way to do it. Also, the server now sends a client-side name, which is kind of nice when you're trying to figure out which client is having trouble getting into the server and gets rid of some of the network traffic around that. Also, we added invisible columns, which I'll go into a little bit more on later. The idea is if you add an invisible column, if you do a select star, you won't see that column. If you do a select star, comma, that column name, you'll see it. You have to explicitly name that column to get that data. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. Storage engines. For those of you who are the fan of the black hole storage engine, which solves a lot of problems, but brings its own along, do not use this as your default storage engine for permanent data. The maximum key length has been increased from 1,000 to 3,072 bytes, which is what it is in InnoDB. GIS. I know if you've played with this, you've been very impressed. There's some things that are slowly being tinkered on, and two of those are the ST Hausdorff distance and Fréchet distance functions. If you are into this, you're going to be really impressed with this. The new ST line interpreter point and points function return a single point or multiple points interpolated between the start point and the end point of a string line geometry. Very handy for writing your own little maps. Also, the cast convert functions have been extended to support casting between geometry valuables from one special or spatial type to another. So if you have data in one SRID and need to get it in another SRID, very, very handy. The shell. The shell in the past year has ended up being one of those products that has been highly extended. There's more stuff coming I can't tell you about, but watch the next couple of releases. There's a lot of really amazing engineering, jaw-dropping stuff that is going into the shell. And the parallel import utility can now import a specified list of import data files with wildcard pattern matching and all that. So you can pull in multiple files from a single run of the utility. So if you have to do a bunch of bulk ETL type stuff, this is great for that. Things can be compressed. We have two compression standards, Z standard and GZIP. And save you some bandwidth and some time. And also these utilities now use parallel connections to decompress and upload several files simultaneously to the target server. A very fast way to upload stuff. Also, you can now have SQL statements from the shell's SQL mode sent directly to the operating system logging facility, either on Windows or Linux or Unix. This is very handy for environments where they want to keep all the relevant data in one big log, not have to go through the system log and then the MySQL log and et cetera. Very handy there for you folks who are into that thing. Also, the dump and load utilities now check to make sure in cases where you don't have primary keys that you won't end up shooting yourself in your foot. For those of you who are using the Oracle Cloud Infrastructure MySQL Data Service, it's an imperative that you have a primary key, and this will keep you from shooting yourself in your foot by uploading by avoiding uploading problems. And you can also have it to actually add primary keys in the cases that aren't there. And it uses that invisible column I mentioned earlier. Great thing about that is that if you have an application that does not have a primary key, but should add an invisible column, make it a primary key, my InnoDB will be a lot happier. And you'll be a lot happier. Now, you can also use MySQL Shell to support LDAP authentication protocols and Kerberos. So as we're adding more security options for you, we're making sure they're there in the shell. So let me do a quick summary and give some thank yous. This has been a different year. COVID has been kind of covering a lot of things downwards, but we've had a lot of contributions from a lot of really great folks this year. And if I miss anyone, it's my fault. I was grabbing these as quickly as I can. So if you see these folks or you are one of these folks, please either pat them on the back and give yourself a pat on the back. A lot of great stuff came out in 8.0.2.7 and 8.0.2.6 and 8.0.2.4. And 8.0.2.3. Without your contributions, things go a lot slower. If you even have just a wild idea you want to run through, put in it as a feature request. These things do get read. Now, Oracle is a bit of a bureaucracy sometimes, and things don't always happen as fast as you think they should. But all your requests, all your hints, all your questions, all your bug reports, they do get filtered through the various levels, and they do get read and they do get noticed. And with that, if this is still on the schedule, it's the last session for the 2022 MySQL DevRoom at FOSDEM. Thank you for attending. There's been some changes the last couple of weeks before the go that were kind of crazy, and LeFred has done his normal fantastic job, and he should be commended. If you're around him, please pat him on the back. And thanks to you for attending. And hopefully next year, we will all be at the show in person. So thank you very much. And if you have any questions, I'm dave.stokes@oracle.com. Thank you.